Good afternoon, everyone. It's Deborah and Jackie, finally back in the studio.
Yes.
Welcome to another edition of Our Take on It. And today we've got to tackle what's going on around us, and that is the war between Israel and the Palestinians. This is a very significant geopolitical issue, and I'd like to start out by reading 11 chapters of Jeremiah 30.
Yes.
Okay, it says, "This is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you. The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will bring my people Israel and Judah back from captivity and restore them to the land I gave their ancestors to possess, says the Lord. These are the words the Lord spoke concerning Israel and Judah. This is what the Lord says. Cries of fear are heard, terror, not peace. Ask and see, can a man bear children? Then why do I see every strong man with his hands on his stomach like a woman in labor? Every face turned deadly pale. How awful that day will be. No other will be like it. It will be a time of trouble for Jacob, but he will be saved out of it. In that day, declares the Lord Almighty, I will break the yoke off their necks and tear off their bonds. No longer will foreigners enslave them. Instead, they will serve the Lord their God and David their king, whom I will raise up for them. So do not be afraid, Jacob, my servant. Do not be dismayed, Israel, declares the Lord. I will surely save you out of a distant place, your descendants from the land of their exile. Jacob will again have peace and security, and no one will make him afraid. I am with you and will save you, declares the Lord. Though I completely destroy all the nations among which I scatter you, I will not completely destroy you. I will discipline you, but only in due measure. I will not let you go entirely unpunished." Now, this is very powerful because we all know, according to the Bible, that Israel is God's chosen nation.
Yes.
Okay? But in the same token, we must remember that Israel was punished quite severely in the eyes of the Lord.
Several punishments.
Yes, several punishments. And on a journey that should have taken them 11 days, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. Okay, that's a significant condemnation. And there were many reasons for that. Now, today we have a war that was started by Hamas. Okay, and we know who Hamas is. Okay, they are a militant group that just wants the nation of Israel wiped off the face of the earth. They have no other agenda. There have been numerous ceasefires, okay, that are trying to promote peace in this region. But it has never materialized because in a lot of ways, the resources that have been provided have been used to build a massive tunnel system, you know, which runs through Gaza. And this is a huge use of resources. And this is really to promote Hamas's agenda. And no matter how we look at it, every ceasefire has been broken by Hamas. The Jewish people, of course, they have their own agenda and their own policies in this equation. But we all feel so terribly sorry for the people in Gaza. We're watching the most horrific scenes of brutality. Children being massacred. You know, men and women being forced to live under conditions that are inhumane and treacherous. But when we get to the bottom line, this is a war that was predicted, that Israel is a nation that is among so many other Arab nations that hate it. I mean, how do we come to terms with this, Deb? I mean, what do we say? I know right now in Canada, there's a lot of polarization. You have different groups that definitely, you know, have their respective positions. And nobody's saying they shouldn't take their positions. But we are in a situation that could really implode into a major crisis. Because there are other groups like Hezbollah, supported by the Iranians, that could be joining this conflict. We don't know the depths of it. But we do know from a scriptural standpoint that this kind of confrontation among warring factions is predicted in the Bible.
Absolutely. You know, the Bible is one of the best-selling book of all times, and it is still the best-selling book. It is filled with prophecies that we see unfolding each and every day. Man has made their laws from the book itself to foster their country. And so, interestingly, when we see countries and nations rise against nation. And the Bible clearly says that there will be nations against nations, earthquakes, pestilence, all these things that is actually plaguing our society right now. And we take a stand and we said, well, could the Bible be wrong about what it has been prophesied so far, or what we are seeing before our eyes so far? Now, Israel is, like I said, they're the heart of God. And no matter what Israel does, they still remain the chosen one. And this is how faithful God is. He's not a man to lie, and he's not the author of confusion. What he said he will do, he will do. And what his promise is, he keeps his promise. And no matter how stubborn-headed Israel has been, he still favors Israel. He said, those who curse Israel will be cursed, and those who bless Israel will be blessed. Now, from a perspective that I see Israel, you know, people say, oh, Israel is no innocent nation among all these things that's happening. Regardless to whether they're not innocent or innocent, they did not start the war. They didn't start this. It started, and now people are saying, oh, Israel should cease fire. Israel, no, we're not going to cease fire. Now, you have poked the bear. You have poked the bear. And so your Hamas mission is all about land. This land belongs, you know, it's interesting because everything that is being watched right now and is being revealed right now, we look at our own personal lives and we can see the reflection from it. Because, you know, in a regular family, you know, there's always that fight for land, space, and house space and all that, right?
Assets.
There's
like
assets.
All
and
kinds
then,
of things.
Yeah, and then it starts a war. It starts a war for who should get what. And in this case, this is what really Hamas is saying, why they're attacking. But then on the other narrative of things, where the media really don't really tell you the full story, they only tell you the things that makes them look good, or even to feel empathy for the criminals.
Yes.
Right? Because we live in a criminalistic, if that's the word, society, where war is money. War is money. And when I see people like Hamas, who created havoc on another nation, and then asking for support. Why would you create a war and then want another country to support you with aid?
You see, it's so difficult from Israel's perspective. And the reason it's difficult is because if they concede and, you know, agree to some sort of a ceasefire, it keeps starting up again. It keeps rejuvenating itself and it keeps intensifying. And, you know, the people that have been taken hostage in Israel are innocent people, young people, older people, you know, that were just sort of pulled out of their comfort and their security and safety and just thrust into a situation that they didn't ask for. And at the same time, on the Palestinian side, you know, you have innocent civilians also that didn't ask for this. And I sort of feel that Hamas is a treacherous group because their agenda is just so wicked and so violent. And I think they're going to continue until they get rid of Israel. And it's not realistic because it's not just between the Arabs and the Jews. If people look back at the political aspects of this, Anwar Sadat was a very prominent Egyptian peacemaker going back 20 plus years. And there was another organization involved. There was the PLO, the Palestine Liberation Army. And they got a chance at that time to manifest a peace with the Palestinians and the Jews, and they rejected it. And this has been going on for such a long time. We have these attempts, you know, to quell the attacks, and then it starts up again and it diffuses to an even bigger, more volatile situation.
But the Jews has always been on the attack. Once upon a time, Christian wanted to kill a bunch of Jews because why? They didn't believe in the way that we believe in terms of religious belief, right? But Jews are very, I want to say they're very resilient people.
They are.
They rise above whatever circumstances that they are thrown in. And I really want to believe that it's because they are God's chosen people. God has always been able to find a way to redeem Israel out of any sort of situation that they may find themselves in. Because regardless to whether the Jews believe in Jesus or not, the one thing that is consistent with them is prayer and worshiping. They worship maybe more so on the Old Testament side of things as opposed to the New Testament.
Yes.
But still, that reverence for their creator has never been questioned. It's never been questioned. And so, and if you even think about it, you know, Jews are one of the richest people in the world, right? They have a stake in everywhere, in Hollywood, everywhere. They're everywhere. They're small in number, but they're powerful as a nation.
Yes, they are.
And it's because, you know, I want to believe it's because of their belief system that keeps them grounded. Now, on the other hand, when will this war end? How will it end? Should it end? Everything will come to an end. But at the end of the day, what if the Jews decide to cease fire and Hamas, and we have Iraq, Iran, we know all these nations will join with Hamas to destroy Israel.
Yes.
And so in doing that, Israel was attacked. And when you were attacked, you didn't really have any preparation mode to cover yourself, right? And so at this point now, they're like, okay, we're in control now. So what do we do with these people that try to destroy us? And right now, it's a matter, like, life's has been, and nobody wants to see people get killed on a regular basis. Every time I turn on the news, there's an update of how many deaths
civilian
has been.
Civilian casualties are horrible to see.
They're coming.
They're absolutely heartbreaking. You know?
But I don't think Hamas had really thought about the plan in attacking and how it was going to play out. You see? Because even some of their own rockets hit back on them.
Yeah.
It's almost like you spit in the sky and it falls right back in your face. And so the Jewish community, even here, I went to a support Jewish ceremony 2 weeks ago, and it was so filled with compassion and love and empathy for the Jewish community, and it was all Christians that was there supporting, you know.
Yeah.
So I mean, the unity, the unification is coming together for Israel because we see there's an injustice that is happening on Israel, and so of course the compassion is going to come flooding in. But at the end of the day, to what ends?
Yeah, well, I think this is it. It's hard to predict, you know, what the outcome will be. Will this situation ever, you know, reach a peaceful point, or is it just something that is going to continue, you know, to evolve in something that could have worldwide implications for the destruction of the society that we live in and that we hope, you know, to have future generations exist in? This situation is a mess.
But I think there's a shift in narratives when we're talking about this war. Because before that, we had the war with Ukraine and Russia. And all of a sudden, that seems to have minimized or diminished somewhere where there's no talks about that. And it's all now Hamas and Israel.
Yeah.
And so we're asking the question, what happened to that war? Has there been ceasefire? Is it over? Or is it a distraction for Putin to continue doing his sinister work?
I believe it is a distraction. I really do believe that, you know, in some cloak and dagger kind of way, that Putin may be behind, you know, some of the tension in the Middle East. We can't confirm these things. You know, we can only have suspicions.
Well, our worldview is just what it is. But at the end of the day, sometimes your worldview is all you have, and it is the closest thing to the truth. Because the media, if we listen to the media, we're going to be choosing sides. And we don't want to choose sides based on the information that we're not privy to.
Yeah.
Right? So how can I choose whether it's Israel or Hamas or Russia or Ukraine? Like, who here is at fault? What's the truth about all of this? What is the truth? We don't know what is the truth. We know that somebody's been attacked. We know that their life's being lost. We feel empathy and compassion. But what is the underlying truth that created all this mess? We don't know.
And all we know is that it is documented in the Bible.
Yes.
That these nations would be warring factions, and this would continue through the generations. Now, we know the Bible has an ending, and the ending is not really beneficial for those who are against God and don't believe in his fundamental principles. But, you know, the complexities of that we will not go into. But we do know right now that there is a crisis, and the crisis is one that is causing destruction. And how deep that destruction will go, we can only pray. that somehow there will be something that will produce some kind of love out of this, because that's what we're working with. We're working with raw hatred, and hatred is such a destructive force. And the only way we can have peace is if we can get rid of that hatred and find common ground. And I really don't think it's possible in such a polarized, hostile environment that we're seeing at this point in time.
Well, not only that, but we are forgetting the number one enemy who is behind all this destruction, because he come to kill, steal, and destroy. And there is no way that this world will ever be at peace as long as he is in the mix. Until his destruction comes, then there will be peace. And I mean, I'm not going to be around for that 1,000 years when we will have peace, when he will be bound. But that would be something to really see, that the world can be so civil and so in love and so supportive with each other, and all races come together, all nations join together, you know, black and white, Hispanic, Chinese, name it. Everybody see, and all they see is love. Not the pain that we're seeing, not the hurt that we're seeing, not the destruction that we're seeing, not the envy that we're seeing, not the polarization or the marginalization that we're seeing, but a unified nation that brings humanity together in that 1,000 years when the enemy is bound. But for now, he is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And we're not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against spiritual warfare in high places, because this is of a spiritual warfare, because the Jewish are of a spiritual nation. Hamas have their own, you know, belief that they're working with. And so the enemy knows how to. Sometimes when we look at evil, we say, the question is, how is there a God and so many evil is happening around the world? And that is a worldview question from any perspective. But really and truly, is God the reason why this world is in the mess that it is? No.
No, I don't believe it. No.
He gave us all free will to choose. And if I wake up this morning and choose to go and shoot up this entire neighborhood, that is my choice. And then I can just put it down on the mental illness and I get away with it. And I go to another place and I do the same thing again. And so we're creating an environment here, and I think the leaders have a hand in how society is being run, how it's being maintained, how its citizens act and react. They all have a hand in it because of the principles, because of the kind of legit legislation that they have out there that doesn't really penalize people enough so that they can take a conscious look within and say, well, I can't do this. You know, you're okay to use the Bible to say, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not do that. But the rest of the Bible is being ignored. And this is why I feel like if everybody were to wake up every day and read one verse from Proverbs, one verse, it is the most wisest, knowledgeable thing you can do for your life, because it has so much to share. But these people don't wake up and do that. The first thing they wake up and do, they look at the cell phone, the blue light hit their face, and next thing you know, they're either cursing, dancing, winding up, or shooting up each other. And so the destruction of this world is rest solely in the hands of man. Mankind are its worst enemy. Even God said, I regretted the day I created man.
Because sin is real. Sin is what has caused all the problems in the world. And people, you know, don't realize how much they need God and how much they need his word.
No, they don't understand the consequences of sin. The consequences of sin is what we're seeing in Israel, in Russia, in Ukraine, Hamas, and every other neighborhood. The consequences of sin, the choices that we make, that's what it comes down to. And we're looking for peace. Peace within where? If you don't have peace within your heart, how can you express peace on the outside? If it's not within your heart, how can you express it?
You really can't. It's virtually impossible, because God looks at the heart. That's how he makes a determination.
He said the heart is desperately wicked above all things. And when we have men like Hamas, who is so barbarian, that would just rip your head off without even thinking about it, that would rape women and videotape it and send it out worldwide and just masculate children and just, and I'm thinking, these men have to be single. They don't have any family members. I pray they don't have any family members, that sort of evil should not touch them. And the only thing that we can do from a Christian perspective is to pray. Pray is the weapon that we all need to be using every day. It doesn't matter what the circumstances look like. Prayer can change things. And at this point where we see the war, even though it's thousands of miles away from us, it could be right in our back door. It could be right in our front door. It could be our neighbors. War doesn't have a gender. It doesn't have a culture. It doesn't have a race. Once war is started, it's like a yeast spread through a dough. It affects everybody. And this war is going to affect Canada indirectly. Based, you see, the war is affecting our economy. It has affected us already.
Of course it has. Yeah, I know this is a difficult subject, you know, to even tackle, because like it or not, people are taking sides and they're really sinking their heels in one position or the other. But as Deb said, the best solution is really to pray. You know, find obedience to God's word, read it, and learn that the evil that is happening right now is not from God. It may have been predicted in his word, but it doesn't have to end with Satan calling the shots. We need to pray. We need to strengthen our attempt to just reach a positive outcome in this situation. And it's only by getting on our knees and serving who we believe to be the master of the universe. Amen. That we will change this situation. My name is Jackie.
And I'm Deborah.
And please listen to this podcast, absorb its message, and let it have an impact.
And please share, like, and follow. Give us a thumbs up if you like our contents. We appreciate you listening, and we appreciate you always being there for us. We thank you.
Have a good day. Have a good day.